नायां पुत्वा पविता वा न पूयः नायां पुत्वा पविता वा न पूयः अचो नित्याशाश्वतो यां पुराणो अचो नित्याशाश्वतो यां पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन् नायां भूत्वा भाविता वा न भूयः अचो नित्याशाश्वतो यां पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन् अयं भूत्वा भाविता वा न भूयः शाश्वतो यां पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन् नाम भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अचो नित्यशाश्वतो यां पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचिन् नायां भूत्वा भविता वा न भूय न चो नित्यशाश्वतो यां पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे न नेवर जायते टेक बर्थ म्रियते डाइस वा Either, kadachit, at any time, at past, present, or future. Na, never, I am this, bhutva, having come into being. Bhavita, will come to be. Va, or, na, not, bhuyaha, or is again coming to be. Acha, unborn, nitya, eternal, shashvata, permanent, I am this, purana, the oldest, na, never, hanyate, is killed, hanyamane, being killed, Sharire, the body. So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Purport. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady or kutastha. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of the mother's body, it's the first one, remains for one time, for some time, second, it's growing on, dirt produces some effects on children. The fourth gradually dwindles, the fifth, and at last vanishes into oblivion. It means dead. That's the sixth. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. That is, there is no trace in history or his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man, therefore, feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different individual souls, and owning to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence. But the soul has neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is freed from the six changes of the body. In the Katha Upanishad 1-18, we also find a similar passage which reads, Najayate mriyate va vipashchin nayam kudashchin na babhuva kashchit. Acho nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanimane sharire. The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita. But here, in this verse, there is one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge, or full always with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart, where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to clouds, or for some other reason, but the light owing because of the clouds, or for some other reasons. But the light of the sun is always there, and we are convinced that it is therefore daytime. As soon as there is a little light in the sky early in the morning, we can understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of the Bhagavad Gita would be useless. There are two kinds of souls, namely the minute particle soul, Anuatma, and the super soul, Vibhu Atma. This is also confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 1-20 in this way.
Anuraniyan mahato mahiyan amasya chanto nihito kuhayam tam akratu pasyati vittashoko tatu prasadam mahimana atmana both the Super Soul, Paramatma, and the Atomic Soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same heart of the living being. And only one who has become free from all material desires, as well as lamentations, can by the grace of the Supreme understand the glories of the soul. Krishna is the fountainhead of the Super Soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters. And Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Jai Demriyate Vakadajin Nayam Budva Bhavita Vana Puyaha Ajonitya Shashvato Yam Purano Nahanyate Hanyamani Sharire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death. At any time, it does not come into being, and will not come into being. It is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval, is not slain, and the body is slain. Om Agyati Maranyasya Gananchana Salakhyam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. So beginning from verse 12 on of second chapter, Krishna is describing the symptoms of the soul, Jivatma. Text 12, he says, never was there a time where I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So there Krishna already is hinting to Arjuna that nobody of us, either me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul, nor you, my dear devotee, or all the Jivatmas who are in the same category as you, nor all these kings who are also who are present here, who are also in the category of Jivatmas, they will never die. There was never a time where they did not exist. In the past, in the present, and also after their death, in the future, they will not cease to be. So they will, because Krishna is pointing out the soul of all the embodied living entities is eternal. That's the nature. The nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam ekubahunam yodvidadati kavam. Supreme Lord is the Supreme Eternal, all his part and parcels, the living entities, who are either his expansions or expansion of expansions, and also those who are separated in this material world, the Jivatma, who is a Nityabhata, conditioned by the material nature since time immemorial. They are also eternal. What is not eternal is the material nature. It means the forms. The material forms, they have a beginning and an end, because everything, Krishna also is pointing out, everything has a beginning, it has an end. But something that has no beginning, it cannot have an end. And the good news, Krishna is giving, for a relievement of all the souls who are embodied in the temporary body, is that we are not this body, that we are eternal spirit soul, that we are eternal. That is what Prabhupada told to the German Sankirtan devotees in London in 1977. You know, Prabhupada came from Vrindavan, he was very sick, but still he left Vrindavan, that means left, he took Vrindavan with him, to broadcasted all over the world. So he was physically not in good shape because of old age, and only a few months before his disappearance. So he decided to go to London to see the devotees there, his disciples, or also those who never have seen him, who wanted to see him. Although everyone discouraged him and told him, please don't go. Doctors told him, don't go, it's not good for your health, it will kill you. His servants, they didn't encourage him. But Prabhupada, he was always the leader. He was always the leader. He was, nobody could tell him, besides of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his spiritual master, what he should do or not do. So he decided to go. Actually it was the opportunity for many of us to see Prabhupada, maybe first time or maybe only the second time in our whole life. We had the opportunity to see Prabhupada there. Although he was not speaking much, but just by seeing him and the whole mood and this atmosphere of many Prabhupada disciples in 77, it was a very nice spirit. Many of the devotees never met each other also, because they came from all over Europe. And there was a day when Prabhupada was calling the German Sankirtan devotees. I'm from Switzerland, so I came a little late. I unfortunately could not be present when the German devotees were at Darshan with Prabhupada. Came one day later, because we got last minute information that Prabhupada is in London. So we immediately left, but it took some time. But the German devotees, they went earlier, so I knew all of them. So because I was in book distribution, traveling with them for some time. And we came on, and then my God brothers told me they were completely pleased out. Oh, we had darshan of Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was not speaking about book distribution, because he heard the German devotees, the Sankirtan devotees, they only preferred to distribute his books. They didn't want to read his books. So Prabhupada pointed out many times, you know, the books are meant for you to read, not just to distribute. So if you want to be a good book distributor, you should also read these books. Otherwise, you don't know what you distribute, and if somebody is challenging you, or if you are not convinced or don't know what is written in the books, then you cannot convince them. And the other thing is, to distribute books, you know, we have to have knowledge. So we need knowledge, especially that the knowledge about the soul. That we are eternal. Therefore, Prabhupada, he asked the devotees, you know actually our philosophy? Because it's very important to understand and know our philosophy. Because if you don't know the philosophy, then you don't know what you are practicing. Then you can be a sentimentalist, a fanatic, without any knowledge. Of course, it's also benefit. But you get more benefit if you practice the process with knowledge. That means with awareness, with consciousness. So therefore Prabhupada asks, so you know philosophy? There were different opinions. Somebody told, Yaradeka Tarikai Krishna Pratesh, it's our process, our philosophy, to give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to all living entities, to whoever you meet and wherever you go. Another one, his opinion was, sarva dharma paritya cham mame kamsha ramracha, to surrender to Krishna only. That's our philosophy. But then Prabhupada told, no, we have to understand that we're eternal. We have to understand that we are eternal. And he quoted this verse, na chayate miryate eva kadachin, na yambuta napoya, what is it? Nabuya, na hanyate hanimani sharire, that for the soul there is no birth, no death. Never ceases to be. It will never die. It's eternal. And because if we don't know it, that we're eternal, then we will not work for the eternal. Then we will become narrow-minded. We will become only focused on this one body what we have. But actually our function, our dharma, or our activity is not just for this lifetime of this one body. It is for the lifetime, actually for eternity, of the eternal life. And this we should keep in focus. We should not keep in focus, I will die, or be afraid that I will die, because that anyway will happen, if we believe it or not. So to die, it's not a belief. It's a science. It's because we can see that everybody dies all the time. Ahani hani bhutani. Ahani hani means day by day. We know people dying all over the planet. Everywhere somebody is dying all the time. Therefore, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked by Yamaraj, what is the most amazing thing that you have seen in life? He told, Ahani hani bhutani kachanti jamalayam shesham stavaram ichanti kim acharya atakparam. The most wonderful thing, ascharya. Ascharya means wonderful, most amazing. The most amazing thing is that every day, ahani ahani, ahani ahani means every day people are dying. Either we see it directly, or we hear about it from others, from newspaper, from the news. Thousands of people every day die. And only from the people species, not to speak of animal and plant. So it's a constant, and therefore this samsara from the higher planetary point of view. It's like a complete rotation, always non-stop, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Always somebody. So it's a material world. It's like a slaughtering machine. It's only a time that we are now, so it will be finished. We have to give up the body. So this material cycle of birth and death is all continuously going on. Manifesting one body after another. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, we see and hear that always somebody dies. But the most amazing thing is that I still think that I will never die. Arrange my life in such a way that anyway I will live for a long, long time. Although there is no guarantee for a long, long time. Although we would like it, when the time comes, we have to be ready for it. But most of the people are not ready for it because they're either misguided and don't believe in the eternal existence of the soul. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book, what's it called? Dashamula Tattva. Actually, in all his books, he writes about this. But especially in the Dashamula Tattva, there's a section of describing Jiva Tattva. the tattva or the truth about the soul. And there he says that there are three modes of material nature, tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna, and according to that, we have certain kind of perception of life. Those who are in tamaguna, he says, they were grossly ignorant and only on the bodily concept of life, they cannot see a distinction between the soul and the body. They consider the soul and body is ultimately also the body, it's the same. Therefore, the soul also will die after the body is finished. So they're grossly ignorant. And those who are in passion, he says, mode of ignorance or also mixed with passion or more in passion, they make distinction between the souls. This is an animal soul, this is a human soul, this is a demigod soul, this is a plant soul. And therefore, because of this distinction, they become very much proud and cruel to the lower souls, who are not very much elevated. They consider them not very elevated souls, the animals and the plants, and therefore we can exploit them, we can kill them, and we can eat them. So that's the perception of those who are in ignorance with passion. And then those who are in passion, completely in passion, maybe with a little goodness, they think, that's the human soul. And ultimately the human soul can become elevated up to the demigod form or higher planets, they become being in higher existence of a better quality of life, but he never can attain liberation. He will always stay in the material world. So some philosophers present this point of view of life, that the soul, because everyone has different perception of this soul, and therefore they consider the soul can never go out of the material world. It stays in the material world. And the best what he can attain in the material world is a higher, better status, or how we say, quality of life in the heavenly planets. And that's all. Not more than that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains further, those in the mode of goodness, but it's not our goal, for information, to have a perception of the soul in the mode of goodness, what they consider, that the soul ultimately can attain liberation if it becomes purified and understands his nature of eternity, and actually quality that he is an eternally the Lord. Therefore, ultimately, they conclude the fragmental part of the soul, who is now temporarily in ignorance, in this jagat, in this universe, ultimately, if it comes to knowledge of Vedanta on the Upanishad, it will attain liberation and will enter in the Brahman and becomes a part of the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, a dazzling particle of light eternally dancing in front of Lord Mahavishnu around his body, become his effulgence. So that's their conclusion. But for a Vaishnava whose philosophy and his practice of bhakti is not considered in the modes of material nature, that means if he is in pure consciousness or in pure awareness of the truth, he will understand there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the independent Supreme Lord, and he always remains that Supreme Lord. He never, becomes a fragment himself, that he is cut into pieces, and then he distributes himself and becomes the Jagat, the universe. because the Upanishads clarify that, because even if the Lord is expanding himself in so many energies, in the spiritual and the material world, he still remains complete, Purnam. He still is Purnam. He will not become dissolved or no person or just Brahman. Neither is the Lord a manifestation of Brahman. Because the scriptures say, in the beginning is the supreme truth, Radha and Krishna. That means Krishna, the supreme Purusha, and Shakti, one. They're one and one person. That means the Shakti is inside of him. But for the sake of Leela, for the sake of pastime, that supreme absolute truth, who is undivided, who is Advaita Gyan, that means its oneness in variety, although they have variety in it. The Lord is one, but he also can become many. That means he can expand himself. And the first expansion of his Shakti, what he manifests, is Radharani. That's his internal pleasure energy, Antaranga Shakti, Ladini Shakti. And actually only this pleasure energy of the Supreme Lord is Ladini Shakti, is actually making this separation of Radha Krishna, that they appear in two persons, and that Leela takes place, pastime. So previously, originally, everything is in Krishna, but Krishna wanted to expand and make this a variety of pastimes, where so many other gopis and associates could participate in this Nitya Leela. So this Nitya Leela of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally going on in the spiritual world, simultaneously. He is one and also different in two personality, and again is one. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that means the Lord is simultaneously Radha Krishna and simultaneously also Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And who is Lord Gauranga? Lord Gauranga is the combined form of Radha and Krishna when they come together again in oneness. That means Radharani is Krishna is inside, blackish, and Radharani is outside, golden. Golden complexion, Gaurangi. So therefore, when Krishna has a desire to relish the love of Srimati Radharani, he steals the luster, means the Lord Radharani's effulgence, and he covers his blackish form and becomes golden. He becomes the Gaura Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, and also Radha Krishna simultaneously one and in two persons, and also becoming one again, is an eternal truth. It's not that Radha Krishna became manifested from the Brahman, from the impersonal, and then ultimately become again merged in the Brahman. Nor is Lord Chaitanya just a united form of Radha and Krishna, but when he ends his Leela, he's not existing anymore. No, Lord Chaitanya eternally exists. He has his own, in Krishna Loka, his own divine Navadvip or Mayapur, with all his eternal associates who are assisting him in relishing his ecstatic love in the mood of Radharani, in being united with Krishna and also feeling separated of Krishna. So this is simultaneously going on So the Spiegel, the Lila of the Lord, of the highest form of Radha Krishna, and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is always going on in the material world, in from one universe or another, and also in the spiritual world. And also the avatars, those were expansions of the Lord, like Varaha, Nisinga. So some avatars become like a fish, like Matsya, some like Narasingha, half man, half lion, some like a Varaha, like a boar, somebody like a dwarf, sometimes like a dwarf, Vamana, sometimes as a warrior, Parushuram, sometimes as a king, perfect king, Ramachandra, sometimes as a sage, Buddha, who preaches Ahimsa, sometimes a horse, and so he accepts so many forms, but actually he doesn't accept, these forms are always existing, that eternal. It's not that they're dissolved and they're finished after the Leela is finished. So there's different planets where the Lord is existing in these kinds of forms also. So these are his Vishnu expansions and Shakti expansions. But then he also has Jiva expansions, the Jiva Atma, Svamsa and Vibhinamsa. So the expansion of the Lord is the marginal energy. And then he also has an external energy, Maya. But Maya is like the shadow. And she has a thankless job, to keep the Vibhinamsas, that means the conditioned souls in Maya, in illusion, in forgetfulness, with the identification that they are the body, that they are a product of the material nature, of the three material modes of nature. And they consider themselves the doer and the enjoyer and the sufferers accordingly. And therefore, they are always driven by fear. Because they are eager, lusty to enjoy something, therefore they are always afraid to lose something. And especially the greatest fear is the fear of death, ultimately. But there is also a jiva who is eternal. In the spiritual world, Krishna later on, he says that in the spiritual world, everything is akshara. Akshara means complete, perfect, no imperfections. So in the spiritual world, no imperfections can be manifested at any time, because it's eternal. The modes of material nature have no influence in the spiritual world. So because the spiritual world is in one sense nirguna. Nirguna means that there are no material qualities, but that doesn't mean that there is no qualities, that there are no activities. In the spiritual world, there are also activities going on, there's also qualities, there are also forms, but there everything is Satchitananda. Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So therefore there's the Nitya Siddhas, the souls who never leave the Lord, they're called Nitya Siddhas, they never go in touch with the material world. And even if they come sometimes in the material world, like the Lord himself also, they never forget their position. They never forget their identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. Arjuna, of course, is also an Nitya Siddha, is an eternal associate of the Lord. But Krishna, as we already many times explained, and also it is described again and again by Prabhupada, that Arjuna is an eternal associate, and he is temporarily became bewildered by the illusory energy. Actually, not Mahamaya, but by Yoga Maya. So we are all in Maya, all the time. It's not a time where we can be without Maya. That's not possible, because no living entity can exist without Maya. because without Maya we cannot exist. Even the Lord has a Maya, but he lives in his yoga Maya, in his own eternal spiritual energy. No, who is not covering you or put you in misery. So, because the Lord has always in his Antaranga Shakti, and that means his internal energy. And this internal energy is always very blissful. And this internal energy also is manifested as Ladini, as pleasure energy. Because we're all pleasure seeking. We need all Ladini. We're all after Ladini. But but in the material world, Ladini is not available in pure form. Ladini is only available in Antaranga. That means in the innermost transcendental heart of the Lord and his pure devotees and associates. There the Ladini Shakti can be present and finds the pastime place where she gives unlimited bliss, Ananda, to the Lord and to his devotee. And this is such a dynamic exchange that there's always a competition between the Lord and his eternal associates who can relish the bliss most. Nobody is defeated because everyone ultimately becomes more blissful. If the Lord feels blissful, his devotees, associates become blissful, more blissful. If the Lord sees the devotees become more blissful, then he becomes more blissful. So they're catapulting themselves more and more higher and higher in higher and higher bliss. And it has no end. So don't be afraid. Oh, cannot be too much bliss, otherwise, you know, I will explode. What we will do if we have too much bliss, you know? We become crazy. We become puffed up. We make a mistake. We make nonsense. Therefore, we have to be careful. The people in the material world who consider the spiritual bliss material bliss, because if the material blissful or happy person becomes too happy, you know, then it becomes too much offensive. Because he's crazy. He's crazy because of materialistic conception. And the more he becomes materialistically successful, the more he becomes proud. And the more he is exploiting and offending others. Because of his proud nature. So this kind of happiness is only is not material. Therefore, for materialist, a pure happiness or an unlimited happiness cannot exist because it will make him too much proud. He only can stay in the spiritual world like that, in relation with Krishna. Because he is pure bliss, eternal bliss, dynamic, always increasing. And his associates are also, because they are connected with this powerhouse of Krishna. So they are completely blissful all the time. There's no misery there. The misery is only sometimes some feeling of absence of Krishna, their beloved. And that misery creates a great trouble, great havoc and anxiety in the heart of the devotee. And the tears are flowing, that the heart is beating more and shivering like that. You know, we hear different ecstatic symptoms of such devotees. But this kind of misery in the mood of separation is not a misery in the sense of material existence. It is the highest bliss. It's the highest bliss. So therefore, in the spiritual world, Hare Krishna, in the spiritual existence, misery in Krishna consciousness due to separation of Krishna becomes the highest bliss. So therefore, even some misery, so-called misery or anxiety in a relationship between Krishna and the devotees is not miserable at all, because it's under the influence of Ladini Shakti. But the Ladini Shakti is only involved between Krishna and his devotees. Radha Krishna, and all those devotees were related with Radha and Krishna, or with Radharani, with his internal pleasure energy, they can relish this bliss. Here in the material world, those conditioned souls who try to find the bliss, because that's our nature. We are Nandamaya Vyasad, but we are looking here in the material world in artificial, material, temporary attachments and association with temporary bodies. And that leads to problem. Therefore, we are always in anxiety, we are suffering, sometimes a little happiness, but mostly it's distress, anxiety, fear, illusions, and ultimately defeat. We become defeated by the material energy. Parabhava yavad abodachata yavanna chigyasata atmatatvam. Because the conditioned soul, out of foolishness, although it is defeated again and again, it doesn't ask questions about atmatatva, about the science of the soul. It prefers to keep in ignorance and always running after the Maya, who is holding, so come, run, here is allurement, is nice, some nice sense gratification. Don't give up. Come, try it again. And again and again, the soul is running after the Fata Morgana, after the happiness that is actually not existing in the material world. But there is doesn't mean that there is no happiness at all. The frustrated materialist and the impersonalist, they're committing suicide. Because they become hopeless, they become frustrated. Because they think that this material life is a useless thing. There's actually no value, no real goal of life, no meaning. It's only suffering, so give it up. Either killing yourself, go in intoxication in dream world, or kill yourself in the Brahma Nirvana, going in the impersonal oneness. And therefore, from Vaishnava philosophy, that's also ignorance. Although it is considered a mode of goodness, because the impersonalist, the jnani, has a perception of the soul that he can become eternal in the Brahman. But not in activity towards the Supreme Lord, that means in seva. In Brahman is no seva. There's no devotional service in Brahman. Because devotional service only begins under the influence of Ladini Shakti, under the influence of internal energy of the Lord. Only then devotional service begins. And because Mayavadis are also the Jnanis, the Brahmavadis, because they don't have this Ladini Shakti connection, they're not active. They just relish a certain kind of bliss in the Brahmananda. But this kind of bliss, in comparison with the bliss of the nectar of devotion, of the nectar of bhakti, is described as the ocean of bhakti in comparison with a little hoofprint nectar contained in the hoofprint of a calf, vatsa padam. So there's not much in comparison with the ocean of happiness of bhakti. So the bhakti ocean, that's what we have to connect with. And this is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even if we can relish a drop, even a drop is already inundating the whole world. It is so powerful. What to speak of the whole ocean? So that is what Lord Chaitanya, the supreme powerhouse, the supreme personality of Godhead, was Radha Krishna, the absolute truth, who came two, became one again. His personal cause, to relish this love himself, this ecstatic love of Radharani, and also to teach others about that, who are connected with him. And at the same time, parallel, also spreading the Sankirtan movement. This is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's coming frequently to the material world, very rarely though, like Krishna also. And they're always eternal. Even if they're ending their lila, that it goes on in another universe and also in the spiritual world. So Krishna's lila and Chaitanya lila always goes on. It's eternal because Krishna and Gaura are not different from each other. They're identical. So we should not see difference between Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. So they're identical. They're both the absolute root. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, because his combined form of Radha Krishna, his beauty even became more beautiful. His lila became even more attractive. His abode, Navadvipa, became even more wonderful, amazing than Krishna's Vrindavan. Because this Radha and Krishna in the mood of union and separation are simultaneously present in one body. This is the amazing thing of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love. And that actually Lord Chaitanya experienced all the time and also shared with his intimate devotees, whom he empowered to also entering this mood and experience this ecstatic love of what Lord Chaitanya experienced. So like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Swarup Damodar, Jagadananda Pandit, like that, Ramananda Roy. So they're very, very, very confidential devotees. They're Nitya Parishad, Nitya Siddha. So, and the conditioned souls were Nitya Bada. They were wandering always from universe to universe, body to body, try to find this happiness. They're loitering in this material world, but they cannot find it. So therefore, they're very unlucky. Unless they come in contact with knowledge, or with a devotee who lives this knowledge, and who can give this knowledge to a poor conditioned soul, then that soul will become happy. So that's the gift of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, who sent the devotees, who empowered devotees, and even not only those devotees who are in directly parishads of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, you come in contact with them, even hearing or coming in contact or hearing about them who came in contact with them. Or for those who came in contact with another one who came in contact with the eternal parishad, they will become benefited. That's the power of parampara. That's the power of the cyclic succession or hearing, the power of shushushu shadadhanasya vasudev kataruchi. That's the power of hearing about Krishna lila, Chaitanya lila from the mouths of the pure devotees. This hearing and chanting, this shruti, or hearing shushushu shadadhanasya, this faithful hearing, that will give a change in heart. And if we have this change in heart, then one becomes fortunate. Then one is Bhagyavara chief. So that's the great gift, the great treasure what Lord Chaitanya brought, this bhakti dana, this treasure of love to Krishna, what is previously only shared between Krishna and his associates here in Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya, he broke this storehouse of love to Krishna, relished himself and distributed to his devotees and associates and to all those who came in contact with them through the disciplic succession. They get benefited. So in this way, today we are so greatly benefited. As Krishna would speak directly to Arjuna. But after Arjuna, so many misinterpreted Bhagavad Gita. They could not understand the Lord. Therefore the Lord again came They completely misunderstood my message, my process. They deluded it. So I have to come again. So the external cause why he came again is he wanted to introduce this bhakti process again in a simple way, in a simply blissful way, so that everyone can participate in chanting the holy name of Krishna. And at the same time, he also had an internal desire why he came again, because he thought, I didn't spread this confidential love between me and my associates, in the different rasa of Madhurya, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dantudasya. And ultimately, I'm only bound by those personalities who have this kind of relationship with me. I become subordinate to them. And by that subordination, I feel more blissful than when I am in the position that I am the God or the Supreme Ishvara or Lord Himself. Because there's not much bliss. Everyone comes to you, please give me this, please give me that. No? But my devotees, who are in rasa with me, they want to fight with me, like my friends. Sri Dhamma, he challenges me for a fight. Mother is chastising me. She wants to bind me up with ropes if I don't do proper breaking the milk or yogurt pots or stealing something. So she's chastising me. My lovers, the gopis, they're also chastising me. They're ridiculing me and chastising me, so like that. So this kind of chastisement I appreciate more than the praise of the Vedas or like the prayers of those who are ordinary devotees who are always asking me for something. Even the demigods, they always pray, can you come to our place in our universe to help us, to kill the demons. But my pure devotees, they never pray to me, please help me this and please help me that. Because my devotees, my eternal associates, they have no anxiety for themselves. They only have anxiety for me, for Krishna. When Krishna is in problem, when he is embraced or in the clutches of the Kaliya serpent, for example, then it's not... Although the associates are also there, they were fainting. No, they were not fainting because of the poison of the snake. They were fainting because they were so much shocked. Our dear Prananath, our dear friend. No, he's in a very deadly situation, very dangerous situation, and I cannot help him. So they faint. They become unconscious in great anxiety. Or in the forest fire, they also faint, because Krishna. But Krishna is very miraculously, so he always ultimately, whenever he sees his devotees become too much in anxiety, then he makes the miracle. He kills the demon or he devours the forest fire to give happiness to the devotees. And in the end, his devotees become very joyful and very proud of Krishna. And what a super friend we have, and what kind of wonderful activity he again performed today. So that kind of lila and purpose of Krishna, that's his life and soul, that's the devotee's life and soul, that's Krishna's life and soul. And to relish this exchange between devotee and Krishna, that the Lord came as a devotee again to share this and also spread this kind of relationship to the people in this world who think to pray to God as the Almighty or who cannot understand his characteristic at all, to show them who actually Krishna is and how sweet this exchange with him is. And actually only if we understand this true eternal ecstatic relationship between Krishna and his devotees, when we hear about this, we become encouraged, we become enlivened, we become hopeful and develop a desire, I also would like to join this kind of family, Krishna's family. I don't want to stay in this material illusory family anymore, birth after birth. It's terrible. I want to join Krishna's eternal family. But that's life. That's the real life. Never ending. Because that's what we are seeking for. That's the pleasure and the relationship we are looking for. But until now, we are always looking in the wrong place. Now we have opportunity. So we got invitation by Srila Prabhupada, by Parampara, by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Mercy. They invited us, come join the eternal family and be happy. Hare Krishna. So, maybe any question?